Thank you, Tim, for leading us in the singing. Thank you to Al for the prayer, and thank you to William for the prayer. That was a good prayer, buddy. That was excellent. Proud of these guys when they get up here and lead a prayer in front of everybody. That's a difficult thing to do as a young man, and so that takes a lot of courage, and he did a good job, and they all do. Certainly thankful for them and for all of you. Thankful that you're here. Hope that our time together this evening will be beneficial. Pray that it will be good for us to have been here and studied together from God's Word. Brother Guy mentioned last week that the preachers in the evening this month, we're going to be doing some sermons from Psalms. Each of us are taking a psalm or two, and we're going to be studying from those psalms. And so tonight I would invite you to take out your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be spending most of our time there. Psalm 23 is where we're going to begin. Psalm 23, many of you probably recognize this psalm from the time you were a young child, the 23rd Psalm. Many of you, if you were like myself, like many of our young kids here at church, probably memorized this psalm as a youngster. I remember when I was about 10, memorizing this psalm. So tonight I would like for us to start there in the 23rd Psalm. Also, if you have an extra finger to mark a spot, you might turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is a parallel to the 23rd Psalm. And what we see there, as we will study together tonight, is we have a shepherd and his sheep. And we get both perspectives from these two chapters. The 23rd Psalm, we get the view of the relationship from the sheep's perspective. We see how the sheep views the shepherd. And then in John chapter 10, we see how the shepherd views the sheep. Let's begin this evening, tonight, with the 23rd Psalm, as we read together. Psalm chapter 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There are several things that I want us to recognize tonight as we study from Psalm 23. Several points that I would like for us to make, a little application that I think we can make in our own lives, some points that we can consider. The first thing, as we consider this psalm, as we consider being a sheep, that's what David considers himself as he writes this psalm. He considers himself a sheep. And the thing that he recognizes from the very beginning is that sheep need a shepherd. You study about sheep today. Domesticated sheep, like we're familiar with, are very vulnerable. They are very needy. They need a shepherd. They need someone to guide them, to protect them, to show them the way, protect them from danger. And that's what David says in the very beginning. In the first verse there, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verses 2 and 3, he talks about the things that are going to be given to him by the shepherd. He recognizes that my food and my water, my protection and my guidance comes from the shepherd. We too need guidance. we too have a shepherd. He's the same shepherd that David had. That same shepherd that looked after him looks after us. The same shepherd that gave him guidance gives us guidance. The same protection that he has from evil, we have. Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, in Philippians 4, verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that I have a shepherd. A shepherd that is looking out for me, that wants to guide me, that wants to protect me from evil, that wants me to overcome when things get difficult. That's me as a sheep, looking to that shepherd, looking for that guidance. But let's think about the shepherd's perspective. John chapter 10, there we have Jesus using the same example of a shepherd and his sheep. He being the shepherd. And he says this in verse 3. He says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls the sheep by name. Think about the relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. Spend a great deal of time together. They spend so much time together that the shepherd knows everyone by name. He can tell them apart. You know, you drive down the road and you look out to a field of sheep and they all look the same. How can you tell the difference? The shepherd knows. The shepherd knows each one, and he can call them by name because he's familiar with them. He spends his time looking out for them and protecting them. Verse 14 there, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Not only does the shepherd know the sheep, but the sheep know the shepherd. They're familiar with him. They recognize that they need him. They recognize the protection that he gives. And there's comfort in that. It should give us comfort too. Just like those sheep are comforted by the protection that the shepherd gives, we too should have comfort. We too should get that comfort, that feeling of comfort, knowing that God wants what's best for us. That God is looking out for us. That God wants to protect us from evil. The shepherd provides for the sheep. We go back to Psalm 23. And we see there that David mentions the fact that all of these things are coming from the shepherd. All of the things that I need are going to be provided by the shepherd. Verse 4 there, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He says, I'm not worried about where I'm at or what I'm doing. I'm not worried about the dangers that are around as the sheep. Because I know. I know that my shepherd is there. I know that he's going to protect me. And I take comfort in that. From the sheep's perspective, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. When we're out in the field, I know that there's protection and guidance there. You know, for the longest time, I think I overlooked as I read these verses about the rod and staff. I always just kind of thought about it as one thing. You know, you have a rod or staff. I mean, it's really kind of the same thing. But it really isn't. The rod and the staff are two completely different tools used by the shepherd. The staff is a long piece of wood. It's curved on the end. It's made for guiding the sheep. Hook that sheep around the neck if you need to pull him back in. Guide him where he needs to go. Protect him from going astray. But the rod is completely different. There's differing opinions on the length of the rod or what the rod might have been made from. But the rod was a shorter instrument, a shorter tool. Some believe it attached to the hip or maybe had a wrist strap on it. The rod wasn't for guiding the sheep. The rod was for protecting the sheep. Maybe correcting the sheep if they needed it. But the rod was made out of wood. Some believe that some were made from iron. That rod was there for protection. May have had a knot on the end that they could swing or throw to protect those sheep. The shepherd would have had both on him at all times. And the sheep take comfort in knowing that no matter the situation, my shepherd's ready. He's there to protect me. He's there to guide me. But from the shepherd's point of view, in John chapter 10, Jesus says in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief, is as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The shepherd uses those tools, and he protects the sheep when in the field in the day. But he also protects the sheep at night in the sheepfold. The sheepfold was a courtyard, we might call it. It's a four-sided structure. Most of the time they were built out of rocks. They could be built out of other things, though not as secure. Might have thorn bushes planted around it for added protection or even placed on top. But the key to the sheepfold is the fact that it had one way in, one way out. There was one door. And this is Jesus' perspective on that door. John chapter 9, verse, or 10, verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door." You don't get in to my sheep without coming through me. You don't become one of my sheep without coming through me. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Verse 11 there, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You think about what that means as a shepherd. To own the sheep. For those sheep to be your livelihood. To spend so much time with those sheep that you call them each by name. You look after everything that they need, and you provide it. And to be willing to lay down your life for those sheep. I am the door. You must come through me. So we see that
Jesus is the true shepherd. Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 there, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He starts off the thought with, "This is who I believe. This is who I want to protect me. This is who I want to guide me. This is who I want to be obedient to. The Lord is my shepherd. I know that everything I need will be provided by Him." John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Jesus then recognizes the sheep. It says, "When He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus says, when that shepherd goes out, and he calls those sheep, just the same way that he is familiar with them and calls them by name and knows the difference between them, the sheep know him. The sheep recognize him. They recognize his voice. He says, those sheep won't go with any other man because they won't go with the stranger. They recognize the voice of the shepherd. They will only follow him. There's a man named John Nosker. He was a Christian. He lived in Virginia. He passed away in 2003. I never had the pleasure of knowing Brother Nosker. I have a very good friend who knew him very well. Brother Nosker was an elder in the church. Spent some time as a preacher. But in the secular world, Brother Nosker had a very important job. He was a senior vice president over the Department of Examination for the Federal Reserve. It was Brother Nosker's job to teach people, to train people to spot counterfeit money. Brother Nosker was quoted as saying, when training bank employees, one of the most beneficial or the most accurate ways that they could train bank employees when handling money wasn't by sight, but by touch. They trained employees of the Federal Reserve to spot counterfeit money just by the way it felt. Just by the way it felt in their hands. And the way they trained them to do this was they let them handle real currency. They handled that currency all the time. And they learned how it felt in their hands. They learned the texture. They learned the way the fibers in the money felt. And they became so skilled in their abilities that when they were handed counterfeit money, they didn't even have to look at it. They could tell that it was fake just by the way it felt in their hands. That's the same way we need to be with the gospel. Brother Nosker said, that's the same way we should be when we handle God's word. We should handle it on a daily basis. We should always be reading it and be studying it. We should have that same ability and that same experience. And when someone hands us error, we immediately recognize it. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, let's start there in verse 14, he says, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Christ says, those sheep, they recognize the shepherd's voice. They're so familiar with the shepherd that when a stranger comes, they flee. They run away from him. Paul tells us that's the same way we should be with error. When someone hands us error, it should immediately be recognized by us. We should turn from it and turn back to the true shepherd. Going back to John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13 there, Jesus says this, verse 11 we've already read, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus says, you know, the shepherd isn't always there. He can't always be there with those sheep 24-7. And so sometimes there's another man that comes. But that man doesn't care anything about the sheep. He's only there to earn his money. He's only there for a wage. And when danger comes, when problems arise, that man's going to run. That man's going to protect himself because he's not really worried about the sheep. The same is true with false teachers. People who try to sway us one way or the other to benefit themselves. They're not concerned about our soul. They're concerned about their wage. They're concerned about the money that they might earn. Jesus is the true shepherd. Verse 16 there, John chapter 10, he says, and other sheep I have not, or I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They will hear my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Psalm 23 is the sheep looking for the shepherd, looking up to the shepherd. John chapter 10 is the shepherd looking for sheep. Verse 16 there, he says, I need more sheep. I need more sheep. I need more followers to be part of my flock. Tonight, if you are here and you are not a sheep, you're not a Christian, but you want to be. You wish to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We would invite you. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that you need to correct publicly. If there's any way we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand.